I was up in the mountains with my family and was just on social media, as I often am and have been for my whole adult life since social media has come onto the foray. I own a media company. And an article, an essay was making the rounds again. I guess it came out last April, but Dr. George Yancey, who's a Black professor out of Emory, wrote an essay for the New York Times that was titled, "Should I Give Up on White People?" And he talks about, how hard it is as a Black man to make any sort of change and tear down white supremacy. And so I retweeted that article and wrote short and long answer, yes. The next thing I know, Paul Rosenthal, Democrat, retweeted my response, accused me of reverse racism, which is not a thing, and tagged Colorado politics. And then, within minutes, I get a phone call on my cell phone from a reporter named Joey Bunch from Colorado Politics accusing me of being a racist. When I explained, I stood by my words, that it's incumbent, just like it's incumbent upon men to tear down misogyny, it's incumbent upon white people to tear down white supremacy. It's literally impossible for brown and Black people to do that. So it's the people who create the institutions of oppression and benefit from them that have to tear them down. That's what I said. That's all I said. He then writes an article, which is essentially a hit piece about ex-congressional candidate giving up on white people. Total clickbait. So let's just take a step back. This is like, if it wasn't so scary, this would be like an Onion piece or an SNL skit. Private Citizen retweets the New York Times, and that becomes a news story. And so, calling a quote reporter, calling a private citizen on their cell phone and accusing them of being a racist, that reeks of Nazism. That reeks of fascism. So, that and all, the crowd go wild, and I'm called a sore loser, which, by the way, I am a sore loser. I'm sore that we continue to lose the fight against white supremacy. I've been writing about race and racial justice for years. I mean, this is like, and I didn't mention, this has nothing to do with running for Congress. It's about white supremacy. And so Michael Harriet from The Root picked up the story. And the next thing you know, Breitbart and the Daily Caller pick up the story, and then the death threats ensue. And so that's where we are right now, just because I tweeted a New York Times article. So that should give you a sense of how deep and wide white supremacy runs. Is a brown woman tweets an article about white supremacy, and I get chased out of Colorado.
Well, just in terms of your experience with this, when we spoke before the primaries, I mean, one of the things that you said was that as a woman of color, you wanted to carve out space for people of color in the Democratic Party. Your experience now and what you've experienced when you continue to try to raise awareness about white supremacy, not as something that's happening on the far right, but something that's happening within the Democratic Party. I mean, what are your thoughts about that? That it's very easy to say, well, racism is happening and it's playing out in the alt-right and the far right. But what about what's happening right now and the reaction you've had from people within the Democratic establishment?
Oh, yeah, totally. I would say that it's very clear. In some ways, this is a gift because it completely proves my point. Like they've just completely proven my point in a spectacularly public fashion. White supremacy runs deep in both parties. Look at what's happening to Maxine Waters right now. Maxine Waters was calling for good Americans to stop serving people in the Trump administration at restaurants and buses. And instead of having her back, what do Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer do? They call her unacceptable. They call her un-American. You know what they do? They put a big target on her back. So they have just, she got tons of death threats for saying that. And then instead of protecting her and supporting her, they threw her under the bus. That, by the way, is white supremacy. What they're engaging in is white supremacy. So, yeah, I see no difference between the parties. I really don't. I mean, it's hard for me to even see how what they're doing is any better or worse than what the Republicans are doing.
And in terms of now the implications for you and your family, you have received threats, death threats, and you have said that you are leaving Colorado, at least temporarily. Obviously, you're not going to want to tell people where you're going, but what have been the ramifications now for you and your family?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, look. This is me speaking out. They're trying to silence me. I will never be silenced. I will die for this. but my kids don't deserve this. My kids are very visible people. People know what they look like. People know where we live. And, you know, a lot of, and by the way, by say a lot of people, a lot of white people have been like, oh, death threats happen all the time. Why are you scared? I had a woman out of New York say that to me yesterday, liberal white woman in liberal New York City saying that, because obviously she's never received a death threat. But let's see what just happened at the Gazette. They used to receive death threats and no one really seemed to care. And a guy came up and blew it up. So if it's, you know, even a 1% chance greater that this could happen to my kids, I wanted them to get out, which we have left. But I'm under no delusion that you can escape white supremacy in this country, right? If you could, every brown and black person in the country would live in that special place. That doesn't exist. You can't escape it. I just want to kind of get out while this is happening actively, while I continue to get emails about me being, like, I can't even say out loud the stuff that is being said. I'm assuming these people will eventually go away and move on to trolling and threatening the next people, which sucks. But let this serve as an example. I'm a short middle-aged Indian woman with kids and a company, and all I did and all I do is call out white supremacy, and people want to kill me. That's the reality. I am no different than tons of brown and black people all around this country. This is happening in big and small ways. This is a silencing tactic. This is no different than what happened in the 60s. This is no different than what happened with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and I'm not gonna stop talking. And the more people who understand this, the better. And it's got to stop. It just has to stop.
In terms of your political future, you ran challenging a very established Democrat, Diana DeGette. You got a lot of support, even though you were a first-time candidate, mm-hmm. albeit you weren't successful in your bid in the primaries. I mean, what do you see as your future in politics?
Sure. So, you know, let's take a look at that. And 20 weeks, I had 20 weeks, right? I was one of the last people in America to file with the FEC. 20 weeks, no corporate money, no name ID, relative newcomer to Colorado. Had been there at that point 4.5 years, 5 years. We got almost 43,000 votes, 1 in 3 votes, right? If we had a couple more months, I think we probably would have won. And what that tells me is we have a huge movement on our hands, a huge movement. And we just had our campaign thank you party the other night, and most of the people there were white. We have tons of white supporters. And I think this is what's terrifying to the Democratic Party. And this, by the way, I ran on an explicitly anti-racist platform as a brown woman in a majority white district in a majority white state. What does that mean for the rest of the country? If this can happen here, which is happening, it can happen anywhere. And then we're talking about real deconstruction of power, real the bring down of hegemony on both sides. And I think this is why the Democratic Party is terrified. They're terrified about what happened in Queens with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's terrifying what's happening in white Colorado. We're not going anywhere. We're getting bigger. We're getting stronger. We've started a movement. The train has left the station, and it's full steam ahead.
Well, Saira Rao, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us. And just to clarify, we're speaking to you. You've already left Colorado, right?
I have, yeah.
And
yeah.
Are you going to come back?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I'm under no delusion that anywhere else is better. I just wanted to get out, you know, kind of in the immediacy of sort of the deluge of threats.